Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our service. It's great to be worshiping together. Thank you for being here this morning. Last week I told you that we were going to have Greg Hawkins in our service as a guest, just briefly, talking a little bit about the ministry he does. He's going to be with us by video in just a minute. We'll get him on the line, but I kind of wanted just to set it up a little bit. One of the things that we value here as a church is our partnerships. Partnerships with different organizations, different groups, different individuals, other churches, networks, things like that. In fact, about 3 years ago, we established some strategic objectives to kind of guide us over the next few years. And one of those strategic objectives was to develop 100 partnerships over a 10-year period. And we're at about 22, 23 partnerships at this point. Some of them have come and gone because there was a life expectancy there. Some of them we shifted to another area of ministry and let another one go and that sort of thing. But we've partnered with that many different groups or organizations or people over the last 3 years. And one of our newest ones, and by the way, some of our partnerships, I always like to explain it. Some of them require almost nothing of us, but they're incredibly important, and then some of them require a lot of us. For example, for over 40 years now, we've had an AA group that meets in our facility, so we consider them a strategic partner just simply because we're connected to them and what they're doing. But all we do is provide them with space to meet and a little bit of utilities for the lights, and that's about it. So it really is no cost to us, but they're doing some incredible things through that program, and so we want to be a part of that and support that. On the flip side of that, things like hypothermia response, where we're in partnership with Facets and other area churches, that requires a lot of us, from financial commitments for our budgeting things to tons and tons of volunteers. And then there's the Tanya Center in Africa, where we just raised a little over $50,000 for them to help them put a solar system in for their school and then also help them with some of their personnel costs. So partnerships range from really easy, low cost, low input from us to some significant stuff. One of our newest partners is with Greg. Greg was the interim youth pastor here, student pastor here a couple of years ago. We were in between. We were looking for a new student pastor. We knew it was going to take us some time to do that and get the right person in place, and we just wanted to be in a place where we could take our time and do that. And so we knew Greg through one of our partnership, North Star Church Network. He and his wife, Carrie, were part of another church, and Greg was doing seminary work here and was looking for a place to serve until he left about 8 months later to finish his seminary up in Dallas, Texas. And so it was just a good match, a good fit for us. So they came, got connected, got to know our students and parents really, really quickly, did some really great relational stuff while they were here, created some momentum in our student ministry that kind of got us through the interim really well, which kind of set us up for a new person coming in and succeeding. So I'm really thankful for what they did while they were here. And kind of along the way, Greg was kind of figuring out what he wanted to do in ministry. And he and I would talk a lot when he was here. And when he left for Dallas, we stayed connected and would chat back and forth. And we'd connect when he was in town visiting family. And one of the things he was feeling a pull to was some kind of ministry in the area of sports. But he didn't know what that looked like. And so he continued to pray and look, and he got connected with a basketball coaching volunteer as a basketball coach at University of Dallas, I think, Dallas University, and then got connected with a ministry called Nations of Coaches. And so he and Carrie have to raise their own financial support. It's not funded, so he has to raise his own support to be able to do this. And so he came to us, and we wanted to partner with him to help him with that. So this year, and as a part of our missions budget, in our general budget, we support Greg and Carrie a little bit with some of their financial needs, because it's great that he's doing ministry, but like I said in the early service, he still has to eat and live indoors, right? So he's got to earn a living, and so he raises funds to do that. And he was planning to be here, but they've got a baby due in 5 weeks. They just closed on a house, I think, a day or two ago. He just graduated seminary and just did a big fundraiser golf tournament thing. So a lot of stuff going on. So they didn't come in town. So we're going to get Greg and Carrie on the line here. Hey guys, welcome back. We're still here, so are you. So you guys are in Dallas, Texas. Here's the morning crowd. This one's a little bit easier than the earlier crowd. because they're a little more awake. See, they're waving at you. The early crowd didn't even wave. They hadn't had their caffeine yet, but these guys are caffeinated, so they're good to go. But thanks for hanging around all day to be with us. And so I told him, like I said, Greg, I told him just a little bit about how we got to know you through our student ministry here, and you jumped in for about 8 months and did some interim work for us until you went to seminary. And so you got a lot going on. I told him that you just graduated, so congratulations. We're proud of you. And you're getting applause, too. You guys are setting the bar high for the early service, I'm just saying. And you just closed on the house, a couple days ago?
Friday,
okay. So closed on the house. I was telling you did a big golf tournament. So you had that going on. And 5 weeks, right, Carrie? You're counting down the days till little girl Hawkins shows up. So we're excited for you guys. Another applause. Awesome. So just, I was telling them, we partnered with you guys. We value partnerships, and so we are thrilled to be a part of what you're doing in a small way. But just, Greg, just tell us a little bit about just what's going on there and a little bit of Nations of Coaches and some of that stuff.
Yeah, so in the midst of all the controlled chaos, we have entered into the quiet season. So summer for us is just recruiting and administrative stuff, anything you want to do. Getting prepped for next year. So that's kind of a quick snapshot of where we are currently. Nations of Coaches. So the organization started in 2008. Their main priority is connecting with any collegiate basketball in the United States. And so that's junior college level, NAIA, all the way up to NCAA, D1. So really kind of what they do is they in the latest terms possible, they marry a team chaplain to a basketball program, and what that chaplain looks like, especially in the secular schools, is a constant mentor to the players as well as kind of a sounding board to the coaching staff.
Yeah, super. And so tell us kind of just specifically some of the things that you're involved in and how you got connected to that.
Yeah, so I got connected because we came out here within the first semester of DTS. I needed an outlet. It was just too much theology and not enough actual life. Yeah. And through some channels, I got connected and started just serving, rebounding, throwing up water, loving on the guys at DBU. And then that kind of parlayed into this opportunity to continue serving them in a capacity that really aligns with kind of who I am and what I do. Kind of blanked on the second part of your question, so.
That's all right. So tell us some of the impact that you're seeing with some of the guys that you're coaching.
Yeah, definitely. The unique thing with DBU being a private Christian school is I don't have to filter what I say, and we have a team discipleship and small group discipleship throughout the week, and so I have access to these guys in a small group setting, as well as a large group setting, as well as getting lunch and coffee with them all the time. And what that has turned into has been one salvation. We had an international player who came to know the Lord in November, and so now I get to walk with him and really I just kind of help him understand what that means to be a believer.
Yeah.
And that's fun because he's got 4 more years. And then I've also had a really good relationship with a senior that just graduated, John Thomas. And so he has asked me to officiate his wedding come June 1st. And so Carrie and I have walked with him and his fiance, Shelby, in premarital, and we get to be there to celebrate and then stay connected, right? And,
yeah.
And continue to counsel and walk with them in their marriage. And so those are just two kind of snapshots of really what my relationship building turns out at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's really awesome that you've built that level of relationship that you could do that. I'm going to ask you a question. I didn't ask you early service, and I didn't ask you Friday when we were testing out all the tech stuff and going over some of this, but any different plans? And do you see this changing now that you've graduated, or are you going to continue doing work with DBU? Does that grow? What does that maybe look like? Just don't. If you don't have an answer, that's fine.
No, it's funny, because I thought of something between these two, but we had never talked about it, so I was like, well, I'll bring it up. But anyway, now that you ask.
Oops.
One, I've got plenty more margin, right, in life now. Baby Boo Girl is going to take up a lot of that, as every parent knows, and we will soon find out. But what I've noticed in the collegiate coaching circles is there are plenty of ministries, like Athletes in Action, Crusade, FCA, that do a really good job of ministering to coaches, and so kind of more reactionary when stuff happens, life happens, they're coming alongside to help them. But there's not a lot of proactive ministries out there. And so we're praying about what that could look like in terms of actually equipping coaches throughout the U.S. for believers to step up, practice the faith, really marry, you know, what it is to be a believer and be a coach on court. So that's probably something that needs to get fleshed out more this coming year.
Super. Awesome. And then one last thing, and I just want to pray for you guys, but you mentioned this in the early service, and you and I talked about this a little bit on Friday, was the how kind of what you're doing is an extension of your time here. So just, I know you wanted to thank the church, so you want to just, I'll just give you some time to whatever you want to say.
Cool. Yeah, definitely. So when we had the opportunity to serve at Fairfax Circle, and really just kind of jump in and try to, you know, establish relationships and love on the students as quickly as possible. What that really, that parlayed into a behavior that I duplicated at DDU, and looking back, it just prepared Carrie and I to find success, to love unconditionally, to not have a filter in terms of how we act and respond, because we couldn't have actually very short amount of time to just be transparent and vulnerable. And having a response from the church body, from the student body there at Fairfax, really encouraged us and gave us confidence, I think, whether we realized it in the moment. And then in hindsight, we just duplicated that at DDU. And so we've been able to establish relationships in a short amount of time that, in a lot of ways, they're better and deeper than what the head coach has. And there's some walls there, obviously, but it's been a blessing. And so to you guys at Fairfax, especially in the second service, since you're awake, you don't hear me, thank you so much. What you guys allowed us to do a couple of years ago, how you sent us off, how you continue to kind of water the roots, if you will, that we have there, it means a lot. It means a lot because it we're cared for, we know we're prayed for from there. You know, sometimes we get out kind of ahead of things is what we feel like sometimes here. It's lonely. And so just having your support and being able to, you know, grab coffee with David and come into church and see familiar faces that ask and care about you, as well as individuals in the congregation that are already on our team, it just means a lot. So we're just so very grateful. And so you guys have made a huge impact through us and through some of the other partnerships you guys have. And that says a lot, because I've talked to quite a few churches, and sometimes it just doesn't line up with their ministry and what they're trying to do. But there's oftentimes, no, we're not going to partner with you, or we're not going to come alongside you. And so, yeah, thank you. It means a lot.
Awesome. We're glad that we are able to be a part of what you did here and what you're doing there. And so I want to pray for you guys. And next time, whether it's by video or in person, we, you know, are going to be excited to see both of you and actually three of you. So, you know, we'll still give you two some time, but not as much time as you're used to probably. So anyway, but we will certainly be praying for you over the next few weeks too, as you get closer to baby number one. It's awesome. Let's go to God in prayer. God, we thank you for this church and just for our willingness to develop partnerships here locally, around the country, and even around the world. And we just pray you bless each one of those. I thank you for Greg and Carrie, and I thank you first of all for their time here and the work that they put into our student ministries and our parents here, and just setting us up for success as we look for a new youth pastor. And so I thank you, praise you for that. I thank you for just walking alongside of both of them as Greg has gone through seminary and finished that up. I thank you for just blessing them with the house that you've blessed them with. And I just pray that over the next few years, they'll just find more and more opportunities to use that to serve you in some way. And then I just pray for the ministry that Greg is leading, that you would be with him as he continues to build those relationships and disciple students, disciple players, and even the coaches that he's working with, that he would have an influence there as well. We thank you for the wins that he's mentioned and all the other successes that he's seeing through what he's doing. Thank you for Nations of Coaches and for the just for the structure they have in place for people like Greg to come into and to be able to serve in this capacity. And then I just pray for both of them that you just prepare them to be parents, that you just give them all the energy and strength that they need, all the wisdom that they need. Just watch over them, keep them safe, and we thank you in advance for the blessing. In Christ's name I pray, amen. All right, guys, thanks for being with us, and we will let you go, but we will certainly be in touch. And let us send us pictures when you got a little one.
All right.
See you guys. Isn't technology great? If you want to find out more about what Greg is doing, Nations of Coaches has a really great website that goes into a little more detail about what all their coaches do. So grab your notes, go open your apps if you're working off of a mobile app. We are in a series that we've been in for the last few weeks called You Drive Me Crazy. We've all kind of been in that place, right, where somebody in our life, probably somebody that we love, but maybe somebody we work with or know or something, just tends to drive us crazy. How do we deal with that? So we're talking about the people that we're in relationship with. In week one, we talked about the benefits of having wisdom when it comes. We looked a lot at Proverbs and some of the things that Solomon had to say. And really, it was kind of a foundational message for everything else we're talking about. If you missed that one, let me highly recommend you go to your app or go online and check that out. And then last week, we talked about anger and how to control anger. How do we control our anger when we've just had enough, right? And how do we kind of diffuse the anger that heads towards us from some of the crazy makers in our lives? And how do we handle that well as a follower of Jesus? And then next week, we're going to wrap up and we're going to talk, we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit from what I would consider the typical crazy maker where we're just kind of headbutting or personalities clash. And we're going to talk about toxic people and how do we deal with that? Because they're a level above crazy makers, and we need to recognize when we've got somebody in our life that's toxic and how to handle that, especially when it's a relationship that we can't get out of. Maybe it's a work relationship and we're just stuck there. And how do we handle that as followers of Jesus? So don't miss that as we wrap up. But today we're going to talk about conflict. And here's the deal. I've been doing ministry for about 30 years. I've been doing it full time for about 25 now. And I was thinking this week as I kind of looked back over that time and all the people that I've known and worked with and had conversation with, the couples and individuals, you know, the parents that I've kind of counseled or just kind of spoke into their lives in some way or another. As I thought about that, without a doubt, the number one thing I've spent my time on is helping people navigate conflict in their lives. Conflict at work, conflict with a spouse, conflict with a boyfriend or a girlfriend, with their kids, with a coworker, conflict in their community where they live, conflict here at church with people that they're connected to here at church. So one of the most important things that we need to learn in our relationships is how do we resolve conflict? How do we handle conflict? Because if you don't know how to handle conflict, you're just going to walk around in conflict most of your life, which is just going to leave you miserable. Because it will just suck the life out of you. Because if your relationships aren't good, and if you're carrying around a bunch of unresolved conflict and you don't know how to deal with it, then that relative, that in-law, that coworker, that boss, whatever, then you're just never going to be happy because, like I said, it will just suck the life right out of you. So today we're going to talk about some steps about how to resolve conflict. We're going to get really, really practical again this week. And if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus, maybe somebody brought you this morning, maybe you're just checking things out, maybe you're not even sure what you think about this whole church stuff. If that's you, everything I'm going to talk about today is totally optional for you. I think if you put some of this into play, it'll be really helpful in your life, but again, it's totally optional for you. But if you're here this morning and you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, then what we're going to talk about is not optional for you. It's not optional for me. And here's why I say that, because of something that the Apostle Paul said when he wrote a letter to some followers of Jesus who were living in the city of Rome. And here's what Paul said. He said, "As much as possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone." Now, I am so glad that Paul included those first two statements and didn't just say, you know, live in peace with everyone, right? Paul gives us a couple of caveats here. He says, as much as possible, and as far as it depends on you. Paul says that there's going to be some people in your life that you just can't live with, right? That they're crazy makers. And really, it's not on you. It's not your fault. It's their issue is what he's saying. No matter how much you try to appease them, please them, control, support, whatever, they're just kind of an empty well that can't be filled, right? Their emotional needs are so great that no matter what you do, you just can't please them. You just can't get along with them. We've all met people like that, haven't we? Don't elbow them if you're sitting next to them, or don't look at them, okay? But no matter what you do, you just can't make them happy. And even God recognizes, hey, there are some people out there that you just can't live in peace with. You don't want the conflict, you don't want the arguments, but it happens. As much as possible, as much as possible, sometimes it's just not possible. As far as it depends on you, you can't control anybody else's reaction. You can only control your reaction. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. So again, let's get really, really practical this week, and let's just look at some steps. I'm going to give you six. There's probably more. If you've got some extra steps, I would love to hear your thoughts on that. But I'm going to give you six steps that I think are really good to kind of help us resolve conflict. And this first one is the most important one. And then all the ones we're going to look at after this first one are really steps that we're going to take once we connect with the person that we're in conflict with, once we sit down and try to resolve things. So write this one down because you're going to need it someday in the future. And by the way, if you're a parent, teach this to your kids, to your children. It will help them so much in life. But the first step in resolving conflict, really with anybody, is this, is you've got to take the initiative. You've got to take the initiative. That's the starting point. You are the starting point. You take the initiative. You don't wait for them to come to you. You go to them, and you be the peacemaker. I mean, we've all heard the expression, right? Time heals all wounds, right? Or time heals everything. That's just not true. Time may heal some things, but it doesn't heal conflict. I mean, if time heals everything, I mean, think about it. All you'd have to do when you're sick is go to the doctor and sit in the waiting room, right? You wouldn't even have to see the doctor, because if you just wait, time will heal all things, right? It doesn't work. When it comes to conflict, time actually makes things worse. That problems that get ignored get worse. I mean, anger turns into resentment, and then resentment turns into bitterness. And we've all seen that in people, haven't we? We've seen people in their 80s and 90s who turned into very, very bitter people because of a conflict that they did not work to resolve 50 years earlier, and they were robbed of 50 years of peace and 50 years of happiness in their life. So take the initiative. The conflict, it's not going to resolve itself. And by the way, the only way to resolve conflict is really face-to-face. I mean, millennials, you can't text, okay? It just doesn't work. The rest of us, we can't email. We tried it. It doesn't work, does it? We don't like to admit that, but it's true. And by the way, Jesus thought so much of this idea of taking the initiative. He actually talked about it one time. Matthew, who was one of his followers, who was an eyewitness to the things that Jesus did and said, he tells us that one day Jesus was teaching this huge crowd. And as he's teaching this sermon or this teaching or whatever, he's teaching this principle about taking the initiative. And here's how Jesus said it. He said, if you're standing before the altar in the temple, and he's talking about worship here. It's what we're doing right now. He says, if you're standing in the altar in the temple, or if you go to church to worship and you're offering an offering to God, he says, and suddenly you remember that somebody else, that somebody has something against you. In other words, it's their issue. It's not even your issue in this case. You leave your offering there beside the altar. Go at once and first be reconciled to that person. Then come offer your gift to God. And here's what Jesus is saying. He's saying that reconciliation in our relationships should take priority over our worship. That reconciliation is so important for a follower of Jesus that it should take priority over worship. Do you know what that means? It means that some of us probably shouldn't be here this morning, right? And reconciliation takes priority over worship. Now, notice Jesus did say, leave your offering. So you don't get out of the offering part this morning. If you need to leave, go ahead. The boxes are at the back. You can drop your offering on your way out. But seriously, what is Jesus doing here? He's saying, don't ignore it. That it doesn't matter if you're the offended or if you're the offender. Take the initiative. You need to take the initiative. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's always, 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 it's always your move. Okay? If you are a follower of Jesus, when it comes to your relationships and making sure they're healthy and handled in the right way, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's always your move. So, number two, once you get together with this person, you're going to connect with them, you want to talk it out, you want to work on the conflict that you're having, here are some steps you take. First is you've got to own your part. You've got to own your part. And now, they're mostly the problem, right? I mean, I get that, right? And they're 99.9% wrong, and you're only 0.1% wrong, and probably a little bit more. But if that's it, then you own that 0.1% of yours, right? You own your part. Instead of accusing, instead of attacking, instead of blaming, you begin with humility, and you begin to own up and deal with your part of the situation. Because here's the deal. All of us have blind spots in our lives, don't we? I mean, we all have things in our lives that we just can't see. You know, the forest for the trees kind of a thing. In fact, Jesus deals with this in that same teaching that Matthew gave us a little bit later when he says this. Why do you notice the little speck of dust in your friend's eyes, but you don't notice the big piece of wood in your own eye? First, take the wood out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the dust out of your friend's eyes. In other words, some humility is needed. It starts with my part of the conflict. Ask yourself some questions at this point, like, am I just being too unrealistic here? You know, is that part of what caused where we are? Or am I being insensitive? Or am I being too sensitive in this case? You know, am I being too demanding with my expectations? Or have I not even really communicated my expectations? What is my part of this conflict? And then you own that. And then the third thing you do to resolve conflict is you've got to listen to the hurt. And if you've been here for the other two messages in this series, you've now heard that point three times because I've included it all 3 weeks. And why am I bringing it up again? Because if we can get this one thing right in our relationships, it has the power and the potential to change everything. That like I said last week, hurt people tend to hurt other people. That when you get hurt, when I get hurt, we tend to hurt the people around us as a reaction. If someone's hurting you, I guarantee you it's because someone has hurt them somewhere along the way. It may be you that hurt them. It may be somebody else that hurt them. But it's someone has hurt them, and that's why they're hurting you. That's why they're having the emotion that they're having. That's why they're lashing out the way they are or doing whatever they're doing. So you have to listen for the hurt in the middle of that conflict. And James gives us a great way to do that. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and then slow to become angry. You have to listen to the hurt. You know, I think God was really, really intentional. I think he put a lot of thought and a lot of design into how he created us. And I don't think it's by accident that he gave us one mouth and two ears. Okay? Have you ever thought about that? So I think we need to be listening at least as much, if not twice as much, as we're talking. When we do that, then we can hear what's going on in somebody else's life. And that's the key to beginning to kind of diffuse the conflict, to understanding where they're coming from, to understand their perspective, to understand their circumstances and what's going on. We've got to listen. And then here's the fourth step, and it's a tricky one, but it's really, really important. You've got to tell the truth tactfully. And the key word there is tactfully. Tact doesn't always come natural to us, does it? The Apostle Paul, he said it this way. He said, speak the truth in love. I mean, it may be the truth, but if it's not spoken in love, it's just not going to be received. It's going to create more conflict. And truth should never be used as a club. It should never be used to beat somebody over the head with. You tell the truth and you do it tactfully. Here's some really great words of wisdom from Solomon where he says, reckless words, those are the kind of words that we use in an argument, that we use in the heat of the moment without really thinking about what we're saying. Reckless words pierce like a sword. And haven't we all experienced that, where somebody's words just pierced us like a sword? But the tongue of the wise brings healing. In other words, foolish words hurt. Wise words heal. And it's your choice, it's my choice. Speak the truth, tell the truth tactfully. And if you don't tell it tactfully, then it's just not going to be received. Truth without love, it's resisted. Truth wrapped in love is more likely to be heard, more likely to be received. So when I'm in this conversation with this person that I'm in conflict with, then I just need to stop and ask some questions. And I think here are three really great questions that we can ask at this point. And the first one is what I'm about to say, is this going to be helpful to them, or it's going to be is it going to be hurtful to them? And if it's going to be hurtful to them, is there a way that I can say it a little more diplomatically, a little more tactfully, a little bit more on the level of how they communicate, so that it will actually be helpful and not hurtful? Is it going to build them up, or is it going to tear them down? Is it going to make them feel better about themselves when it's all said and done, or is it going to make them feel worse about themselves? Is it persuasive, or is it just abrasive? Because if it's abrasive, they're just going to shut it down and not hear it. And there's a skill to learning how to attack the problem without attacking the person. Most of us don't learn that because we're just not taught that. So we've got to go through the argument, and we've got to figure out how do we attack the problem without attacking the person. So you've got to learn to do that. And then related to number four is number five. It's very similar, and it's this: fix the problem, not the blame. Fix the problem, not the blame. Because here's the deal. We've all got a certain amount of emotional energy, and we don't have enough energy to do both of those things. So we've got to ask ourselves, what's more important, to blame them and to get them to understand that they're to blame and to get them to own that blame on themselves? Or is it more important to resolve the conflict and to fix the problem? Is the relationship more important than that? So fix the problem, not to blame. And then here's the last one. It's simply focus on reconciliation and not resolution. And there's a big difference between those two things. Reconciliation and resolution. Reconciliation, it means reestablishing the relationship. It means reestablishing the relationship with the person that you're in conflict with. Resolution means resolving the issues. In other words, we no longer have any disagreements, and we no longer have any problems. We've resolved all the issues. That is not going to happen because there's just some things that you're never going to agree on, that we're going to have to agree to disagree on. There's nobody on this planet who agrees with everything I think and everything that you think. Nobody. So you're never going to have resolution to all of your issues with the people that you're in relationship with. Now, can you have a loving relationship without agreeing on everything? Sure you can. If we learn to disagree without being disagreeable, that's wisdom. If we learn that we can have unity without having to have uniformity, that's wisdom. And if we can learn that we can actually walk hand in hand without having to see eye to eye on everything, that's wisdom. You don't have to agree on every issue to have reconciliation. By the way, when you focus on the relationship and not the issues, sometimes what you're going to find are some of the issues that are causing the conflict really aren't all that important to you after all. They're just not that big of a deal. There are some things, though, that you're just never going to change in some people. Guys, there are some things you're never going to change about your wives. Okay? You just need to understand that. Ladies, there are some things you are never going to change about us. We're just not going to change. Parents, there are some things your kids, you're never going to change your kids. Kids, you certainly are never going to be able to change your parents on some things. They're just not going to change. And so we need to let some of those things go and just let it go and say, I'm not going to focus on the negative, I'm going to focus on the positive, because there's just some things that aren't going to change here, but I can live with that because of the relationship, and it's more important to me. And they're certainly not going to change it by attacking them on it. Now, you know, there's a ton of conflict in our world, right? I mean, we've got conflict at this point on every level of our culture. And one of the greatest things that we can do as followers of Jesus is build bridges, not walls. That you are most like Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, you are most like Jesus when you are helping to reconcile people, whether it's people you're in relationship with or other people that are being reconciled with other people. You are most like Jesus when you're building bridges, not walls. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus came to do. God sent Jesus to this planet to reconcile us because we were in conflict with God. And so here's one last thing I'll leave you with, and then we're finished. It's not in your notes, but you might want to write it down, but it's this. It's always more rewarding to resolve a conflict than it is to dissolve a relationship. It's not easier, but it's more rewarding. It's always more rewarding to resolve a conflict than it is to dissolve a relationship. And like I said in the beginning, sometimes with some of the people in your life, it's just not possible. But as we're told, as much as possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, as we walk through this series, we've got so many people in our lives, so many different types of relationships, from people that we're extremely close to, like the people we're dating or the people we're married to, our kids, our parents, our close family members and friends. And then we've got people who are in our lives through work and community and church and all of that. And regardless of whether it's a great relationship or a difficult relationship, there's going to be conflict in all of them. So God, my prayer today is that first of all, we would just recognize that we've got some responsibilities as your followers when it comes to our relationships. And that first responsibility is that we take the initiative, that we don't sit back and we don't ignore it, but we take some steps to resolve and reconcile things. And then help us to own our part. And then help us to walk through and be able to say things that need to be said, but in a loving way, in a tactful way, in a way that they can be heard. Help us to let go of the things that maybe don't need to be changed and are never going to be changed, and help us to accept that so that we can reconcile the relationships. But God, ultimately, I pray that as we do this, that not only would our relationships be better, but we would be a better representative in the people in our lives of who you are living in us as your followers. In Christ's name I pray, amen.